The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1 today. Your chance to have your say on, well, just about anything. Anything that's on your mind, anything, could be on the Isle of Man, could be elsewhere in the universe, whatever it is. You text, email, call, WhatsApp. The number of people out of work on the Isle of Man fell by 17 last month. That's the unemployment rate now 0.6%. That means there are 290 people on the Isle of Man who are registered unemployed as of October. Registered unemployed means claiming job seekers allowance. Now, the overarching International Labour Organization predicts that there are a total of 735 people on the Isle of Man currently out of work, so who are not working. So if you subtract 290 from 735, it means there are 445 people who aren't working and aren't registered. There are 866 vacancies at the job centre. So those are the stark realities. 290 people registered unemployed, and nearly, well, over 850, close on 900 vacancies on the Isle of Man. That's the situation. We are short of people with skills. Absolutely no doubt about that. If you're in business, if you're in commerce, I just wonder what your thoughts on that. How difficult is it to get the right person at the right price? Of course, well, you've heard that kerfuffle going on in Tynwald this morning. The Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Tim Glover, was pushed back by the Chief Minister this morning, really, mentally, not physically. It was over questions regarding the government's stability due to changes to the Council of Ministers in the last 6 months. We'll hear that in a moment. But listening to the exchange was the man who was sacked from his role as Health Minister just last week. This is Rob Callister. This is what Mr. Callister had to say.
Well, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I have to stand and defend myself with the Chief Minister's comments to my colleague from Douglas North when he thanked him for his integrity and for his resignation. I have to ask the Chief Minister where he felt my integrity was wrong not to accept a scripted resignation letter from him and the Chief and the Deputy Chief Minister, when at the time I've been open, honest and transparent. And where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought to his attention allegations of bullying? Where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought mistakes made within the department? Where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought behavioural problems with my department members? I'm absolutely appalled by the Chief Minister's comments this morning.
Well, Mr. President, the Honourable Member is raising a number of significant and serious matters that do now need to be investigated, and as the Honourable Member has made those formal allegations, then they will need to be properly looked at.
Supplementary, Mr. Hooper.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Would the Chief Minister agree with me that a department is far more than the Minister who heads it, even temporarily? There are, in fact, fine leadership teams across both the Department for Enterprise and the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care, and it takes all of the people working hard together to drive through some of the successful outcomes that he listed in his opening remarks.
Minister, to reply.
Indeed, Mr. President, in listing those remarks, as I previously acknowledged, this is a matter that requires consensual leadership and for teams within departments to work together.
Any thoughts on this? That's obviously Rob Callister, irate almost in bringing that situation up and bringing it up in Tynwald as well, even though he said he wasn't minder to bring it up before. Well, what brought it about was the Chief Minister, Mr. Cannon, took exception to questions regarding his administration's stability, the government's stability in Timwell this morning. It was Tim Glover, MHK, from Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo, who put the question to him following the sacking of the man you just heard, Rob Callister, as Health Minister earlier this month. Mr. Cannon took the opportunity to list the government's achievements, which Mr. Glover argued wasn't answering the question.
There seems to have been more shuffles than Harlem in recent times. Members were all preaching transparency at the election. So regarding the latest change at Health, what skill sets changed in 50-odd days from appointment to dismissal, what the circumstances were, and does he think the original appointment was a misjudgment?
Well, Mr. President, whilst the Honourable Member is sitting moaning on the back benches, we're getting on delivering with the purposes of government, setting out to deliver on our commitments in the Island Plan. And not only that, as I've just outlined, tackling some of the key and critical issues that this island is facing. We're making life better for our constituents, Mr. President. We're supporting them with £900 worth of additional support through to our children and families. We are making sure that those commitments are also delivered through to the most vulnerable. We've set ambitious plans for future energy security, and this afternoon we will debate an ambitious economic strategy to, I hope, secure a long-term sustainable future for our island. And yes, Mr. President, along the way there have been some movements in the Council of Ministers. Some of them unexpected, one or two of them expected. That is life, Mr. President. There are some choppy waters and things can be fraught. But, Mr. President, if you want to create an omelette along the way, a few eggs often do get cracked. And we're going to carry on focusing on creating the right omelette for this island. And it will be, Mr. President, with the court's endorsement this afternoon, an ambitious and focused economic strategy that I hope will lay the foundations for future success.
That's Mr. Cannon reacting to Tim Glover's question this morning and the answer to the question. Tim Glover pointed out that transparency was the order of the day. That always came through when everyone was canvassing just over a year ago for the election. Transparency within government. I suppose transparency is in the eye of the beholder. I just wonder what your thoughts are. Perhaps as a voter, who knows, perhaps you're a senior within government. Any thoughts on the matter, then do get in touch. But that's just a flavour of what's happening. But an omelette for the island, I think, will be around for a wee while longer. And, of course, you can hear what's happening in Tynwald on AM 1368 right now, as, of course, Manx Radio always broadcasts the goings-on, the proceedings of Tynwald and Keys. Andy, could you tell me, the local design consultant and the Isle of Man for Middlemarch, I'd love to know who, we talked about this yesterday, I'd love to know who the design consultant is and what are the designs they've created on the Isle of Man. Other than graffiti on a brick wall, I can't think of anything that looks like that Middlemarch design. Well, this is the design between Fort Street and Walpole Avenue, where the old police station. I wonder if that police station's going to stay, by the way. Will that fit into that brand new hotel? But it certainly is. Well, I don't know whether you agree. Does it look in keeping with other things that are on the Isle of Man, bearing in mind 200-300 yards away, the designs for Newsons were turned down? Nothing has yet happened on the bus station, so, well, you just wonder what's going on there. And a message in from Mandy, who just said, with this new Middlemarch thing then, is the Palace Hotel going to be knocked down? Well, one would assume so. It was built in, I think, 66 or 1967, when the Coliseum before that was flattened. The Coliseum, that big 3,000-seat theatre, was flattened. And obviously the ballroom stayed up for a while longer, and then that was knocked down, which is now the car park to the Palace Cinema. But perhaps there are plans to redevelop the Palace site. Who knows? It's a very, very big site, and it's got a big elevation at the back. So if it were excavated down to promenade level, it will be very big. But we'll see what happens. As for the moment, they're talking about a couple of years for the Middlemarch site for the new Palace Hotel. and whether or not it will include all the facilities that are at the Palace Hotel. Of course, the casino is the one thing they're very much interested in. But the cash bingo has been a very healthy business for absolutely decades. It's been a big business. Also, big function suite, not least the accommodation, but also the health club with the swimming pool and everything goes with it. So whether or not everything is going to be accommodated into that, not seen a plan of what's going to be going in the new hotel at Middlemarch. No doubt we'll see that in the future. But big facility, the Palace Hotel has been a big facility for a long, long time. Charles joins us now on Man in Line. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Charles Walter. I'm just on about the scoreboards. It's only any use for anybody that's on the TT grandstand, isn't it? All the rest of the fans around the course can't see it. And they'll all have mobile phones anyway. And I just think it's going to be a white elephant if they put one up there just for 7 or 8 days in the season.
Do you think, though, Charles, for the rest of the year, it's something that's iconic? It's been there for years and years and years. Do you think it's worth having one to be part of the streetscape, as it were, to be part of the landscape?
Well, not if it's going to cost a lot of money, and if it's metal, it'll probably rust there anyway. They could easy, like they had down the promenade a couple of years ago, two big screens with things on, with programmes on. Surely they could put two like that behind where the scoreboard used to be.
How big do you think they should be, Charles?
Well, do something like that. But all the fans round the course can't see the scoreboard, can they? And I'm sure there's probably more people round the course than sitting on the grandstand. Admittedly, when they come round with their bikes, they'll probably stop and have a look at it.
Interesting point, Charles. We thank you for that call today. Thanks for calling, Charles.
Thank you. Bye.
Good to hear from you. It's 18 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Just a quick word about the police who are going to be out and about today. If you are in the south, there's a southern neighbourhood meeting at Castle Rushen High School. And this coming Thursday, there's a northern neighbourhood meeting at Ramsey Courthouse. So if you're experiencing problems in your local community and you'd like the opportunity to talk to a police officer about your concerns, residents in the south tonight have an opportunity at Castle Rushen High School, and in the north have an opportunity at Ramsey Courthouse on Thursday. If you want to be, it's 6:30 tonight at Castle Rushen High School and at Ramsey Courthouse, if that's something that bothers you at the moment. Got a note in also regarding Wright's Pit. We were talking about Wright's Pit yesterday, and Charles Gard was in. Charles was putting together a video about what the state is at Wright's Pit North and the lack of progress in getting a fully engineered lined site for the disposal of problematic and potentially contaminated construction waste, instead of extending the facility in the north. Now, I understand there is going to be a question in Tynwald this week. I think it may be the last question today. I think it's Daphne Kane, MHK, who's putting the question in. But as soon as we hear more about that, but it was disturbing, really, to hear the state of Wright's Pit and the proximity to the beach and the possibility of stuff leaching out into the sea. Regarding those sea deaths, DEFRA issued a statement about the deaths. Yesterday we were talking about, it was raised that the deaths of those seabirds, of the gulls, might well be something to do with the fact that there possibly could be contamination. The bird flu was confirmed in those dead seabirds. They tested positive for HPAI H5N1 strain of avian influenza, same strain as in recent outbreaks in seabirds in Scotland. More than 50 carcasses were collected along the west coast. I think it was in July of this year, but obviously there have been some geese that were found most recently. But certainly something to keep an eye on, and of course it is very important to the bird population of the Isle of Man, and of course the migratory ones. The issues, surely all bullying within government departments needs to be addressed, not just in the Council of Ministers, says Fred. Of course, this is reflecting on what Rob Callister had to say about allegations of bullying within his department. We don't quite know the ins and outs of it, but hopefully this will get sorted out. And certainly, well, again, transparency was always meant to be the order of the day. It's going to end up as scrambled eggs, says Des, after the Chief Minister says you have to crack a few eggs to make an omelette, and we're making an omelette for the Isle of Man. I got a message in it was Dennis regarding, now Dennis wanted to know particularly about the development in Ramsey. That was it. Dennis said, you were talking yesterday about the development here at the Middlemarch site. Well, what's happening with that development in Ramsey? Exactly how big is it going to be, and when is it going to happen? Well, talks between the planners and the company behind the proposals for that major development, a big development in Ramsey, said to be progressing. Sulby Riverside Limited are the people who want to build a mixed development, 207 new homes and apartments in Ramsey, along with a new pub, children's play park and commercial premises close to the town centre on land adjacent to Gardner's Lane. Well, Sulby Riverside Limited's project director is Josh Church.
Very happy, yet we've noted concerns of both the community by a sort of community assessment, and then also the concerns of various departments that are involved in the planning. And we're just trying to look at those and alleviate any concerns and explain, because it's not the simplest of applications either. And so some of it is just explaining what we're looking to do and things like that, especially with a riverside development. People can be nervous of the likes of flooding, and we just then have to, you know, put into the sort of very complex stuff that we do into layman's terms and explain why it's actually bettering the sort of system and things like that. So yeah, very happy with progress to date. Obviously we always want it to be quicker, but that's just the nature of the beast with it.
And are the plans still as intended, or have there been modifications during this process?
The plans are still as intended at this stage, in terms of the housing and the commercial and the riverside sort of accesses and the spine road. So we haven't really wavered from the plans. It's more just making sure everyone's happy with, you know, how it's being done, drainage plans, sort of riverside construction, all those type of aspects. So we're just trying to make sure that the current plans are fitting what is needed by the island and sort of Ramsey.
And all things equal, when would you hope to get started on site?
I would say it's hoping not to get caught in planning for too long, which is always a risk, but we would hope to get the sort of planning in this side of Christmas, which we're really pushing for, but you know what it gets like at Christmas. So getting that planning application in, and then as soon as the planning application is sort of granted, which we would hope it would be, we'd be looking to start on site immediately on the first phase, which is the spine road, which provides a good infrastructure for Ramsey, and then the first batch of sort of housing up in that first area, which is next to the existing housing that Dandara Development has done.
Josh Church from Sulby Riverside Limited about that new development that's going to be happening in Ramsey. 207 new homes and apartments, a pub, a play park, and commercial premises. I listened to this texter 700. I listened to questions in Tibble this morning. I was appalled listening to the Chief Minister's replies regarding the sacking of Rob Callister. He couldn't answer the questions and waffled on about what the government's doing and insulted some members who dare to attack them. Well, the Chief Minister is the Chief Minister, remember. He's the one in charge. Somebody has to be head of the government. Mr. Cannon is the head of the government. And he's always very upbeat about the plan that's going forward. But transparency is something that everybody wanted. The government will be turning Peel Castle into luxury apartments next thing, for all we know. It's a few thousand years old and falling down. I wonder what's going to happen. One wonders what will happen next, says Manx Will. Thank you, Will. Stella was right yesterday, text to 488 contributed. Stella was right yesterday. Everybody's recycling would end up going to the landfill at Bride. It wasn't cost-effective to send away the recycled stuff. I have never bothered recycling because I don't trust them not to send it straight to the incinerator, text to 488. This is yesterday where we were talking about the fact that in the beginning this was, I don't know what happens now, that the recycling used to be taken straight to Wright's Pit. It was recycling in name only, really, and that was 20-odd years ago. I'm sure everything's much better now. Mike said, on the TV news last night, it was stated the global population has now hit 8 billion, 1 billion more than 10 years ago. Now, the extra population has needed extra demand for power, more cars, more air travel, more meat, more people breathing out carbon dioxide, all of which contributes to climate change. So if the population keeps growing, then demand for all these will increase and partially negate any carbon reduction schemes from governments around the world. All governments now to adopt a long-term view and encourage family planning to reduce global population. Whenever I've expressed this view that the world is overpopulated, I've always been told the planet can sustain a higher population. This might be the case for feeding people, but it doesn't answer the demand for power, which contributes to climate change. Well, it's an interesting point, Mike. It's been made many, many times. Nobody has really got to grips with it. Nobody has mentioned how you do it. The Chinese tried it for years and years and years, the one-child policy. They've backtracked because they simply need more people for more economic growth. And perhaps that's what's at the bottom of all this, economic growth. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Listening to the question this morning, the emergency question regarding Mr. Collister and the Chief Minister, and listening to it, I'm sure the rest of the nation would agree with me that it was just his statement as Chief Minister on the state of the nation. It was a good card to pull, but it was a long-winded card of what the government has done, what they've achieved, and whatever. And I must listen to it again and write them all down, because we can talk about it then for the future. But what I was going to say was that until the questioning was why the members in the department at the time, the three, the other members of the House of Keys, which were there, what was the reason why they gave to the Chief Minister to say they couldn't work with Mr. Collister, or vice versa? Did the minister say, I wanted a new team in there, I wanted to try and get some people in that would do some work for me, or whatever? And that's what we never got to, Andy. That was the saddest thing on the question this morning. That took probably about, I don't know, probably about 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, what level of transparency do you think the voter, the electorate need, or the public need in this? It may be the wrong phrase, but should we be washing government dirty laundry in public?
No. My opinion is you shouldn't be. It's because whether you like it or not, members of the House of Keys or members of all sorts of organisations have fights with each other. They have a difference of opinion. But what we do in the Isle of Man, we come to a consensus on which way we're going. They sign up to the Chief Minister to put a policy out there and sign up to that policy. And we strive for it because we want that as the people outside listening. And especially businesses and people that want to say to come to the Isle of Man to invest and put some of their investment into the Isle of Man want stability.
Yeah, that's the most important thing for business, isn't it? Stability.
Yeah, it is. And bring the kids here. When I was in Parliament too, you asked certain people who were, say, well-heeled. That's not a statement to make, but they had a few bob. Why did they come to the Isle of Man? Their grandparents came here because a good quality of life, and they got good care. And they also then, their grandchildren then said, well, we wouldn't mind coming over too. We've got a business, we bring it over, and we'll trade from the Isle of Man, which we're not far away. When you look at it, we're right in the middle of what we call our world, isn't it? England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. And we're there to trade. And that's why when Alf went to all these other places, which we've never had a report on how good it was or how bad it was or how he was accepted for the future. And I just thought this morning was a bit disappointing. And I feel ashamed, really, at the three members who have made those some sort of statements to Mr. Cannon. Then Mr. Cannon has made an issue to say that Rob's not suitable enough to be the Minister of Health. Now, whether the three members, I don't know, I'm putting words in their mouths now, and I'd love them to deny it, is said that we couldn't support you in your government unless you removed Rob Collister and you put somebody else in the chair. and maybe one of them wanted to be chair. And that's what I feel is wrong, because then we're trying, and I was a backbencher, and you'd always try different things, but at the end of the day, you want to move forward, and you've got to have confidence in your members in your department, or you change them. And that's life, isn't it?
And, I mean, quite right. And the fact is that the, you know, 24 members of Keys and the members of Ledgeco, I mean, everybody's a human being, everybody's got feelings, but in the end, you know, you can fall out with people, you can dislike people, for heaven's sake, but the work has to be done, David.
Well, that's the issue. In this world, if everybody liked each other, I don't know how we'd get on, but on this particular issue is, and I wouldn't like this to see happening, and I wonder whether Mr. Cannon, and I'll put words in his mouth too, is maybe he's at risk now a little bit for getting a vote in Timbuktu, getting some legislation through that he needs to do all the time, and maybe they're counting the numbers now and making sure that they're the ones, they're trying to patronise some of the ones to make sure they can get the legislation forward without saying to the members, look, we need this to be done and we need that to be done and all this work needs to be done. And if backbenchers don't take part of government, the work never gets done, or it's put, or it says it's 2 years before legislation comes through. You look at the stuff that needs to be done. We're talking about sometimes, it must be a vast amount of secondary legislation which can be done quite easy. And it'll be interesting to see when you have the Home Affairs team on, is to say what are the backlogs on each individual department.
Okay, all right, David, appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
See you.
All right, 27 minutes before one. Hi, Andy, this is Texter 775. Rob Callister's every right to have his voice. He has valid reasons to seek equity, transparency, and not be dismissed for raising problems that he's identified. Government's shocking attitudes aren't being employed by us, doing their jobs properly. We are the requirements. We don't see much of that. Thank you, Crystal, for that. All the glass on the Isle of Man, by the way, goes to the sandpit, doesn't it? It's using concrete blocks, also crushed and used for bedding, for laying block pavers. Says Frank. Thank you for that, Frank. No, to Riverside Ramsey. It's a wonderful wild area enjoyed by the population and our ever-impacted wildlife. I'm disgusted it's even being considered. This is Texter 622 Sue in Ramsey.
Majestic food, majestic views. The Majestic Chinese Restaurant Douglas. Christmas parties booking now from £30 per person. A la carte menus available too. Call 682 791 or search Majestic Chinese Douglas on Facebook.
Whatever your business, whatever its size, you can always rely on the island's leading fuel and oil supplier to keep you moving. Ellen Vannin Fuels, powering the island and powering industry. Call us on 844-000.
Twinkle, twinkle, little lights. All this Christmas shining bright. Decorations, gifts and trees. Everything that you could need. Who's got Christmas just for you? Ramsey Garden Centre do. Walk through the northern lights into a land of ice and snow at Ramsey Garden Centre. Indoor and outdoor lights, a magical range of real and artificial trees, decorations, gifts and much more. Christmas at Ramsey Garden Centre, Albert Road.
See their faces light up this Christmas with Shaw. We've put the perfect Samsung bundle under the tree. Get the Galaxy A53, tablet, watch and fantastic accessories. Our Christmas bundle costs just £33 a month over 36 months. See their faces light up this Christmas with Shaw. Visit Shaw.com. T's and C's apply.
Tonight here on X Radio at 6 o'clock, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
We'll be hearing the results from the Isle of Man Beekeepers Convention and Exhibition. All of the honey and confectionery that were on display.
And I went along and spoke to Chris Hall, who's the man behind the newly named Manx Viking Project Sandygate, and how the new passing of the planning approval has been received.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, it's 25 to 1 on Max Radio. Yes, next Monday, the 21st, Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, and Dan Davis, the Minister and Chief Exec of Home Affairs, will be live on Man in Line talking about what's happening, legislation, regulations, the future, and how Home Affairs work is continuing on the Isle of Man. Jane Paul Wilson, Minister Dan Davis, Chief Exec, next Monday, 21st at 23rd. That's a week tomorrow. The DEFA Minister, Claire Barber, will be live on Man in Line. Obviously, there's been she's now chair of the meat plant, and no doubt will have something to say about what's happening at the meat plant. Of course, Graham Crowe is now deputy chair there, but obviously that came up in Tim Wild, the fact that the situation at the meat plant hasn't just happened. I got an interesting note in from the Farmers Union, which I'll read you a little later on. So next week, Jane Paul Wilson and Dan Davis and Claire Barber, MHK, DEFA Minister. And then a week's going to be Wednesday the 30th. So a fortnight tomorrow, we're live at QE2 High School. Daphne Kane will be on in December from the Climate Change Transformation Board. And Chris Thomas, MHK, is in, the Infrastructure Minister. And we'll talk about many things, including the horse traps. And Rob Callister's on. Monday the 12th of December, Rob Callister will be live on Man in Line. Who knows where we'll be by then. I agree with Mr. Cannon. David, this is 384. I agree with Mr. Cannon on the removal of Mr. Callister as Minister of Health. If, like Mr. Callister stated, that bullying and bad behaviour had taken place in his department, there now appears to be that an inquiry will take place, rightly so. So until Mr. Callister's questions are answered, he would surely have to excuse himself anyway. The truth will out, says David. A message in just to say Mr. Cannon's combative stance was entirely at odds with his agreement with the statements by Mr. Hooper and Mr. Ashford about everybody working together. Why don't the farmers form a cooperative and run the meat plant themselves? Says Tula. Thank you, Tula. Here's a message in that says the TT scoreboard needs to be replaced with what was there before and incorporate a digital scoreboard. I notice there's a big screen advertising down at Paul Rose Bridge. I bet that didn't cost millions. Have you seen that? Ian, that is. Thank you, Ian. Have you seen that screen at Paul Rose Bridge? It's bright, isn't it? Very bright. It's very bright at night. So who knows what's going to happen with this? They said, didn't they say, well into seven figures for the new TT scoreboard. Seven figures. Your caller is correct. 8 billion now occupy the planet. Africa is driving much of the growth, and they have the largest families with six plus per family, and the youngest age group, says John. A message in to Man in Line, just to say, listening to that exchange in Timwald, I agree with Alf. Rob Callister has a right to speak out about what happened, but then Tim Glover should sit down. thank you, Lisa. Well, they're all paid out of the public purse. It's their job. They're public representatives. I've worked for the government Manx Care for 20 years, and it was a pleasure. It used to be a pleasure to work, but not now. There is bullying top to bottom. Staff are jumping ship left, right and centre. Early retirement, anything to get out. There's been some poor management. Staff welfare, occupational health snowed under with no staff there. Well, that text, that's... Thank you for raising that. That's something that has been raised before, and certainly when Theresa Cope was in, that previous report on Manx Care said that there was nepotism, there was bullying, bad atmosphere, particularly in adult social care. Theresa Cope will be on before Christmas to talk, and we'll probably raise that with her as well. Government can't run things correctly, says Pammy. Look at the prom. Look at the new dock in Liverpool, the Irish project, the new hospital, the meat plant. Don't let government build anything and leave all investment to the private sector. They know what they're doing, says Pammy. Well, in theory, that's a great idea, Pammy. The trouble is that often it needs a pump prime, doesn't it, from government to get things started. That I think they see that as their role, is to facilitate private enterprise to get involved. But we're often criticised for highlighting what government gets wrong. More than happy to laud what government gets right. And again, the government is there as a public servant to facilitate all our lives to be better, richer, nicer, warmer, well-fed, clothed. That's what they're there for. The government is there to protect the interests of the citizens. And the majority of government does that, gets involved. However, of course, sometimes things do go wrong. Now, thank you. Paul in Onken wrote me a note from Birchill Crescent in Onken. Thank you. Regarding the teachers' dispute, I think if the minister, Graham Cregeen, had been left in post and the troublesome backbench MHKs of the day had remained silent, then the aspirations of the teachers' union, the NASUWT, and of course their negotiating officer, Geraldine O'Neill, wouldn't have risen to their present dizzy heights. So what is going to happen with that? Thank you, Paul. Good to hear from you again. Thanks for that note in. Sadly, for him, Mr. Cregeen wasn't returned at the last election. But that teachers' dispute just seems to go on and on and on. And the strikes, it seems, are coming. And a message in from Tim, who says, this is Tim in Glenvine. Tim in Glenvine just said, what's the situation, the official situation, with the Douglas Bay horse tramway? What is going to happen? Well, I've just been checking back, and at the Timbald sitting in July 2022, the track installation progress when operational, the member for Garth, Mrs. Kane, asked the Minister for Infrastructure what progress had been made with the reinstallation of the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway. She asked when the trams will start to operate and would he make a statement. Well, the Minister for Infrastructure advised that in response to a supplementary question from Mr. Ashford about whether the tram tracks will extend the full length of Douglas Promenade, the situation is that the department has undertaken a review of costs to complete the tram tracks to the sea terminal and submitted a business case for this. And now, after suitable deliberation, the minister, Mr. Thomas, will be bringing a proposal to Timbald Court for approval. As well, they're going to review the cost and as well as the potential cost, many items to consider with the timing of such a project to ensure that there's minimal disruption to businesses. They reckon the proposed duration of the project, putting the horse trams back, will be 25 weeks. And it's intended to have the minimal adverse visual impact and be completed without any road closures. Well, Tim, I hope that answers your question. Tim also said, well, what about the fact at the moment, it's all overgrown earth. Is that going to stand? Are they going to have to put foundations in for the tram tracks, or will they just put the tram tracks down where, at the moment, that wilding project, the weeds, are? So what is going to happen? More questions in, and Hillary just said, I heard something on Manx Radio about a review of costs for COVID. I heard a cost of £1.5 million. Is that right? Hillary, you're spot on. There was a review into the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. The review will cost up to £1.5 million, they say.
Kate Brunner KC was appointed to carry out the review earlier this year and has now completed her initial assessment, which includes putting in place a budget. Following a Tynwald question from Douglas South MHK Claire Christian, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon confirmed the review is expected to cost up to £1.5 million, which will be taken from the island's reserves. The investigation will look into the island's reaction to COVID events from December 2019 through until September last year. When the review was discussed in Tynwald, Mr. Cannon confirmed it would have scope to look at areas including the 20 deaths at Abbotswood and isolation rules for steam packet workers. The review was commissioned after the Public Accounts Committee called for a full public inquiry. Ms. Brunner's report is due to be published no later than December 2023.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. November 2023 is when the report will come out. And I wonder what you're expecting to find in that. Bob said, Andy, I was disappointed to hear Stu Peters' anti-pedestrian rhetoric on the radio. To my knowledge, Woodburn Road has never been closed because of its disrepair, and it's perfectly usable, whereas the pedestrian crossing he was referring to in Victoria Street simply came to the top of the list. Doesn't Mr. Peters understand how waiting lists work? Let's hope he doesn't become involved in the Department for Health sometime, says Bob. Sue Peters was talking about the fact that obviously Woodburn Road is quite a big arterial route, and he thought the condition of Woodburn Road merited it being mended and looked after, whereas Victoria Street, he thought, was perfectly serviceable. Well, Victoria Street was a bit of a mess, wasn't it? And they're putting a brand new pedestrian crossing in where one was before. Hence all the problems getting out of Marks and Spencer car park. If you're in Marks and Spencer car park trying to get out, I wish you well. Just Care Products for
mobility solutions. Visit Just Care Products right behind B&Q and see our wide range of mobility aids. From small everyday items to rise recline chairs, beds, scooters and our airline-friendly foldable power chair. Plus, we are the island's only stockists of cozy feet footwear. Just Care Products, right behind B&Q. Just Care Products, 627-177. Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
We are ready to go at B&B Furniture, with a wide range of manager specials throughout the store. If it says I'm ready to go, then it is ready to go. Priced in-store for immediate delivery and no long wait for stock to arrive onto the island. Get the furniture you're longing for with no wait, no deposit required and 0% finance available when you get ready to go at B&B Furniture. It's all here under one roof at the B&B Furniture three-storey showroom in Snugborough.
B&B Furniture.
Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for another Radio Caroline North. We have virtual money to give away to spend in the Caroline web shop, and we're sponsored this time by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for Caroline North with Manx Radio.
648 and 1368 AM.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. The world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Faster May, good afternoon. And Steve's with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Great.
Good. Just a gentle reminder of a May. Now the weather has certainly gone a little bit cold. It must have dropped 5 or 6 degrees overnight, I think. We've got the warm space at the Manx Legion this Thursday again. Telephone number 675217. If people would like to come along, it's a nice hot lunch. Very, very pleasant indeed. More than welcome. Love to see you there. It's proven popular at the present moment.
So what time does it start, Steve?
Doors open 11 o'clock, but if people sort of arrive after 11 o'clock, lunch is served at 12:30, so they don't have to be there from 11 o'clock. Lunch is served bang on 12:30 normally. Come down, meet some new friends, make some new friends, and we'll look after them.
Brilliant. How long is this going on for, Steve?
We're going through until the 8th of December on this one. We culminate with a Christmas luncheon on the 8th of December. And then, obviously, the Legion is very busy with Christmas parties and what have you. But we will be looking to start. We're going to do an evaluation, but it looks like we'll be carrying on into January then as well, with support from the Manx Lottery, because we honestly think that this is going to be a real cold time, January, February. The weather has been very, very nice at the moment. We can't argue with that. It's now starting to change, and we're sort of thinking, well, we get the nice weather now. Do we get the really bad weather in January, February, when people will really need the warm spaces to, you know, give a bit of support to them?
Yeah. I mean, Steve, lots of people, I mean, particularly people who live on their own, are very proud and very self-contained often. So what's your message to somebody who's never been to anything like this before and thinks it may be just a bit too much of a fuss to turn up, Steve?
It's no fuss at all. If they can manage to get on the bus or they drive, come down to the Legion, you'll get a nice warm welcome. We don't ask for any details of anybody. You can sit with other people. You can bring some friends with you. You have a chat. I'm there on behalf of Age Concern. There are a number of volunteers there. If they have any queries, they can come and talk to us discreetly. Everything we do is confidential. We don't talk to anybody else. If they have any queries, we can normally point them in the right direction. You know, it's a good service, really. It's very, very discreet, but please come along. Don't suffer at home. There's a nice warm space there, lovely meals. And then, as I say, we're going to finish off with a lovely Christmas party on the 8th of December, where we've got a choir, local choir, coming along as well. So it's really festivities. It's now the season of goodwill. So come along and have a good time.
Appreciate that, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Lovely. Thanks, Andy. Take care now.
Good to hear from you. And Peter's on Man in Line now. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Andy. Very quickly, end of January last year, a meeting of the Municipal Association, Tim Crookall addressed us, and he did say that regarding the promenade, in April, there would be a safety review by an English company. I've never heard any more about it. Could you ask with your freedom and information thing, what happened to it?
And there was supposed to be a safety review when? In April?
In April, yes.
Okay. And what was it specifically concerning?
The promenade.
Any specific bit of the promenade or just all of it?
No, as far as I was aware, all the issues that people bring up.
Okay. All right, well, we'll try and find out, Peter. Thanks for calling today.
Bye.
Good to hear from you. Just something I want to bring to your attention, by the way. Yesterday we were talking about a lady called in about that cheap funeral scam in England, and we were talking about the cost of funerals on the Isle of Man and the fact that there are some low-priced bargain funerals that are available on the Isle of Man. Just as something I just want to bring to you now, and I'm not going to mention anybody's name apart from one name, and it just says, I was very interested to hear the contributions on Man in Line yesterday about funerals. Can I just bring this to your attention and to your listeners' attention? It is concerning child and baby funerals on the Isle of Man. It's my understanding that all the undertakers on the Isle of Man do not charge for arranging children's funerals. My family received support for the burial of our stillborn son in 2003. In the midst of tragedy and heartache, it was appreciated to have the financial burden removed while dealing with all the stress and the grief of baby loss. The undertaker was Ken Farragher, and I will always be profoundly grateful for all his help. Thank you very much for that contribution. That's always... that particular person gave me permission, but the only name that they wanted mentioned was that of the funeral director. Is this a Manx rumour? Says Roger. Our new Manxman will leave South Korea on the 16th of January next year. The trip will take 30 days... The vessel's going to be partially fitted out and should be in service by the June races. The plan is then for the Manxman return to the UK to complete her fit-out. Is this true? Well, the information we have at the radio station is that Hull 8311 at the Hyundai Mipo dockyard in Ulsan in South Korea, which we now know as Manxman and will know for the next 25 years, apparently is heading from South Korea to Southampton on the 14th of January for full fitting out. She's going to be fitted out in January, and then there'll be sea trials and what have you. So that's the information we have. If we know any more as to what's happening to our darling Manxman boat, then we'll find out. But as far as we know, she's leaving South Korea on the 14th of January and going to Southampton to be fitted out. The Princess Half Tide Dock landing stage is due to open later next year, but we'll find out more about that as that continues. Carol said, Andy, look, being the chief minister doesn't give him the right to use offensive, insulting words to another member. I was always educated to open a sentence in response to someone with listen is an aggressive stance. The Chief Minister does it all the time. The members on behalf of the electorate have a right to question and to be afforded respect and transparency. Does the Chief Minister start his sentences with listen? Just a quick message. Now, this is from Texter 580. Foxdale residents that are registered at Ballasalla Medical Centre have been sent letters over this last week. They need to find another doctor by January as they're outside the catchment area. 300 plus people, we reckon, with only Peel doctors as an option. Don't know if the Peel practice knows yet. Is this true? Are you in Foxdale? Are you registered with that Ballasalla Medical Centre? Have you had the letter to say, or bluntly, go away? Charles says it's a joke. Unceremoniously booted out by the Ballasalla Doctor Surgery with 6 weeks to go. Charles, that is, on 476. Thanks for that. Thanks for your contributions today. Loads of people want to know more about the TT scoreboard. We'll find out more. Thanks to Chris Quirk producing today. Back tomorrow. WINT.